Heavenly Father, we just bless you. We thank you for a new day. I ask, Holy Spirit, that as we read, as we study your word, you would illuminate your truth to us, to our understanding, that mysteries, secrets would be revealed, or that you would unveil things that we need to know to be ready in this last hour, that we would be prepared to overcome every obstacle, to overcome every plan, to overcome every plot of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope everybody's ready to study the Bible today. We're going to jump into some eschatology, some end time study. And in this last hour, we have to be prepared. We have to be ready for all the things that are going to come on the earth that we as believers will need to be ready to endure before the coming of the Messiah. So Revelation, we'll start in chapter 4, verse 7. In this particular verse, there's an interesting parallel that I had noticed. And so I wanted to go over this because it's going to parallel into chapter 6. In chapter 4, it's talking about the four living creatures, the beast before the throne of God. Verse 7, it says, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." And then over into chapter 5, John sees the book. And in verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel which preached with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Then I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, that lion which is of the tribe of Judah, that root of David, hath obtained to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" And then we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, comes and takes the book out of the right hand of the Father. And in chapter 6 here, we see in verse 1, the first seal is going to be opened. And there are seven seals. Chapter 6 will deal with the first six seals of seven. So we'll read here. Chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 and 2. It says, "After I beheld, when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four beasts say, as it were, the noise of thunder, 'Come and see.' Therefore I beheld, and lo, there was a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering, that he might overcome." So this is the opening of that first seal. And you notice here, one of the four beasts says, as it were, a noise of thunder, "Come and see." The beast that says that was mentioned in chapter 4, verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion. Now, a lion really speaks of kingship, of authority. We'll see how these things parallel. It's very interesting here. So a lion speaks of kingship, of authority, and look, the rider comes riding on a white horse. When you look up the word for white horse in the Greek here, it's leukos or leukos, and it means light. So he comes as light. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. He comes to bring you this false peace. And so this white horse, he comes in as if he's bringing this peace, and he comes and he's conquering. And look, let's see here what's given to him again. "And he sat on him and had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." That speaks of rulership. "And he went forth conquering, that he might overcome." This is really interesting because he has a bow. There's no arrows mentioned. And a crown was given to him. And he goes forth conquering, that he might overcome. He takes territory, he takes ground without even a war. So there's things that he takes without even firing a missile. And he starts overcoming. Now it's really interesting The white horse, I believe it stands for what we see is the one world order being formed. The one world government, one world religion being put together, being formed on the scene. In 2020, early 2020 is when we started hearing about COVID-19. And the whole world united under this virus and united under how can they overcome this pestilence, this disease, and fear gripped the entire world so much that many, because of fear, gave over control to the world system. And they started doing these testings. People couldn't go to work without testing, without taking vaccines. Some places they could not shop. And so this was all like the test run. So fear, and through fear, they controlled the populations of the world. You know, something interesting actually with the Russia and Ukraine situation. During this war, as Russia invaded Ukraine, something very interesting happened that people didn't even notice. What happened was Ukraine, during their invasion, they set up a social credit score, a universal basic income, a digital identity, a vaccine passport, and they have this all prepared, ready to be implemented on this app called DIA, D-I-I-A. So they already have this system in place, Ukraine. They already have this system in place, ready to implement. And they're trying to force people to comply. Now the white horse, this rider on the white horse, another interesting thing, back in 2008, if you guys remember when President Barack Obama, during his inauguration, he went to Denver, Colorado, and he went to the Denver Broncos football stadium. The Denver Broncos have a white horse as their logo. And I remember I was watching on the news as he was giving his speech, and they showed the horse right there in the background. And it was really interesting because this rider comes in on the white horse. I'm not saying it was Barack Obama, but this is a landmarker. This is a sign because as far as Islam is concerned, they are waiting for their Mahdi, their version of the Messiah, to come in. And he comes in, according to their books, riding on a white horse, conquering. And we know, according to the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist is going to come in as the false Messiah, because the Lord Jesus in Revelation 19, he comes riding on the white horse. So the enemy tries to parallel that in order to falsely fulfill prophecy. So I really believe that through this coronavirus, they have taken control. They've started to form this one world order. And I'm not saying that this seal has been opened yet or any of these seals just yet, but I'm saying there is a parallel to it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, the second seal now. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." I'm going to pause right there. The second beast, remember in chapter 4, verse 7, is like a calf or a bullock. And when I think of a calf or a bullock, I think of a slaughter. They're slaughtered for the sacrifice or so forth. So a bullock. And what I'm sharing with you now, these are not things that I studied from other people's commentaries or anything like that. This is what I've, in prayer, as I asked the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? And this is what I believe he's shown me to see from the Word of God. Because he reveals his mysteries, he reveals his secrets to those who fear him. And so, the second beast, the heavenly beast, the heavenly creature, he says, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So this is the second horse, and he's a red horse. The rider comes riding on a red horse, And when I look up the word red in the Strong's Concordance, it's pyros. That means fiery-like. So we see the second rider comes on a horse that's fiery-like. It's red. And that speaks of war. It speaks of civil war, uprisings, I believe. That they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So what we're about to see is there's going to be a lot of people of the nations who are tired of the tyranny. They're tired of being locked down. They're tired of being controlled. And right now it appears as if everything's coming off and it's being peaceful. But just wait until they release the next crisis and try to lock people down and control them again. People, they're not going to have it again. They are going to uprise against governments, against their authorities, who are unjustly and ungodly putting people captive and imprisoning the people. So we are going to see civil wars, civil unrests throughout the nations of the world. There will be a slaughter, the calf. Verse 5-6. Third seal. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." Now this third beast, he has the face as a man. And in verse 6, I thought it was very interesting because this is chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. 6 being the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And this judgment is going to be a heavy judgment on man's resources. So verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." Then I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and oil and wine hurt thou not." So let's go through this here. The black horse. Now when I looked up black, it means black. So, but as I was praying, I felt that the Lord showed me it stands for obscurity, meaning darkness. And things in the dark are things that are hidden. People are going to be concerned, confused. People are going to need godly counsel, godly understanding and wisdom. It is going to be a dark time, a dark hour. He had balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny." The proper, it should say, now in King James and the Geneva, they use the word penny, because at that time, that represented a day's wage around the 1600s, a penny. Now, when you look it up, it's a denarium or a denarius. And that was a day's wage. So a measure of wheat for a day's pay. For a day's pay. And three measures of barley for a day's pay. So normally, this is something I did look up to see the Hebraic roots, the understanding of the times on that. And a normal day's pay could buy 8 to 10 measures. But now they're only able to get 1 measure of wheat for the day's pay, or 3 measures of barley for the day's pay. That's very high. So this is speaking of inflation. High inflation is what we see coming from the third seal. And then it says, "And oil and wine hurt thou not." So that's a very interesting statement. The oil and the wine hurt thou not. If we look at it in the natural, there's several things that can represent this in the natural. In the natural, oil and wine, we can see that as provisions of food. Resources. 2 Chronicles 11:11 with King Rehoboam, it says, "And he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them and store of provisions, of victuals, which is provisions, and of oil and wine. And then in Luke 10:34, we see the Good Samaritan. And what did the Good Samaritan do? He took the man, poured oil and wine into his wounds, and bandaged him up. So we see it as provisions, and we see it also for medical use. So that's one way of looking at it, natural. And last night as I was praying, I said, Lord, there's something deeper within this. What's the spiritual implication of it? And I believe the Lord was showing me it means don't touch my anointed believers, the oil and the wine. Don't touch my anointed believers. Psalms 105, verse 14 through 17. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. And this is interesting. Remember the time of Joseph, the time of Pharaoh, how there was famine on the land, as Joseph prophesied of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And the Lord sent Joseph to prepare them, to prepare the people and to prepare the harvest to endure the 7 years of hardship. God sent this prophet Joseph to preserve the people, to preserve the 12 tribes of Israel, the nations. So touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Revelation 11, 3 through 6. Turn over to chapter 11. The oil and the wine. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Chapter 11, verse 3 through 6. But I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, pay attention here, verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths and devoureth their enemies. For if any man would hurt them, thus must he be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophesying, and have power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all manner of plagues as often as they will. So touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. I believe, again, this is speaking of the remnant believers. We are to walk in God's power. We're to walk in His authority in this time. And it should not touch us the way it's going to touch the world. The way that the world goes through crisis, the way they go through famine, the way they go through hardship and wars and all these things. As believers, we need to walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, that when this inflation comes, when all these things come, it will not touch us as the anointed of God. Amen? Amen. So we have the white horse, one world order coming together, the formation of the Antichrist system. The red horse, the fiery horse, I believe that's speaking of wars, civil wars, rumors of wars. And then we have the black horse, speaking of inflation. And now the fourth seal, the pale horse, verse 7 through 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed after him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. So we see this pale horse. Now when we look up pale horse, it means greenish. At Strong's 55:15, which relates to 55:14, it's a greenish horse. a pale horse, it's greenish. When you think of something being pale and kind of greenish, when someone is really sick, if you've ever seen someone really sick and maybe they're about to vomit, they'll actually look almost green in their complexion. And so this pale horse, and look what it represents, death and hell follow after him. So what we're going to see, death and hell. Now, what does that mean, death and hell to follow after him? I believe that represents the spirit of death and the hordes of hell come and bring these atrocities on the earth. And look, they have power over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword. So I believe that talks of war, and with hunger, it's famine, with death. So that could also have to do with pestilences, diseases, whatever would cause death. And with beasts of the earth. So with beasts of the earth, that's really interesting. It's not yet revealed what kind of beast they would use. We know it with the first century church, a lot of them were killed in the arenas through wild animals. They would feed them to the lions and tigers. There were all kinds of animals that they would kill the Christians with in the arenas. So with to kill one-fourth of the earth with sword, with death, famine, beasts of the earth. So these are the first four seals showing the four horsemen. And now let's go to verse 9 through 11, the fifth seal. And it's really interesting, this fifth seal, 9 through 11. When I wrote that down, I noticed, wow, that's interesting. 9-11. 9 through 11. This portion will speak of the Christians who are martyred for the faith. 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were killed for the word of God and for the testimony which they maintained. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, which are holy and true, dost not thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And long white robes were given unto every one. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed, even as they were fulfilled. So this is speaking of the martyrs of the faith. And how did they overcome? They maintained the word of God. They were killed for the word of God and for the testimony which they maintained. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They love not their lives even unto the death. That's in chapter 12. But 9-11, it reminds me of Psalms 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So that's one way we overcome. Now, verse 12 through 17, the sixth seal. And I want to note here, the sixth seal, this happens after the Great Tribulation. And I'll read it, and then I'll show you here why. Verse 12, And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun was black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon was like blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree casteth her green figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed away as a scroll when it is rolled. And every mountain and isle was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and among the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. and who can stand? So this is the sixth seal. I'm going to read verse 12 again. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun was black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon was like blood. And let's go over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, because this is a parallel of what's happening during this event. Verse 29, here's what it says. And immediately after the tribulations of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So this is immediately after the tribulations. So these first five seals, somewhere within this time frame, the Great Tribulation takes place. But the sixth seal happens after the Great Tribulation. And the Lord Jesus has not yet come to rapture the church. Because as we continue in chapter 24, after 29, let's read through 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the kindreds of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of the heaven unto the other. So that happens after the Great Tribulation. And I actually forgot to mention the fourth beast, where he said, come and see. Let me take a look here. I mentioned the lion. I mentioned the calf. I mentioned the face. And the fourth one, the flying eagle. I want to mention that because it's very interesting. Because eagles, they gather over bodies. They gather over the dead bodies, the dead carcasses. And in Matthew 24, verse 28, I'll read 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and is seen in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever a dead carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So the eagles gather over the dead carcasses. The dead carcasses of who? Let's go to chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 18. And this also parallels. Chapter 19 is when we see the coming of the Lord Yeshua. And he comes on a white horse. Chapter 19, let's read starting in verse 17. And I saw an angel stand in the sun who cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that did fly by the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of high captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all freemen and bondmen and small and great. So the eagles gather over the dead carcasses. And in chapter 19, it's speaking of the dead carcasses of the wicked. At the coming of the Lord, he comes bringing the wrath of God on the wicked. And we often hear, well, we're not appointed to wrath. So that's absolutely true. We're not appointed to wrath. The Great Tribulation is not talking about the wrath of God. It's talking about the wrath of Satan. The wrath of God comes on the wicked, and we will be on the side of the Lord when he brings the wrath of God on the wicked. There's also the wrath of God, speaking of the bowls of wrath as well. But so this is the first six seals, and then in chapter 8 is where the seventh seal is opened. That will bring seven angels who will blow seven trumpets. But so as far as concerning chapter 6 of Revelation, I believe this is a really amazing time frame for us to keep in mind as we pay attention to the signs, these landmarkers. I'm just going to go through some of them again here. We're going to see, this is what we're going to see come on the scene, one world order formed together. We're going to see wars and civil wars, uprisings. We're going to see inflation. And we are going to see much death and hardship on the earth. And this is all before the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is during Great Tribulation period. Often folks will read Revelation and they'll read it misunderstanding that the way it's written is something is being explained. And then in following chapters, it says, and then, pay attention to that because that's a time frame. But following chapters, there's more details that it's elaborated on. Also, another example, chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, those are all right around the same time frame. So we've got, and they're speaking about Great Tribulation times. So we've got to be ready, and we have to pay attention. If we're awake, we're not going to get taken by surprise. But if we fall back asleep, there will be compromise. There will be Christians who fall away, who give it to doctrines of devils, who are not ready to endure all these hardships because they thought they were going to get taken up to heaven through this means of escape that they look at as the rapture. But the rapture is not a means of escape. The rapture is when the fruit, the harvest is ready because it's a pure bride made ready, a harvest of good fruit that's ripe and ready to be taken to the Lord. So how do we overcome? How are we going to be ready? I shared some reasons, but go ahead and turn to Psalm 37, just briefly. Psalm chapter 37. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of wicked men, neither be envious of the evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and shall wither as the green herb. Trust thou in the Lord, and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed assuredly. And delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee thine heart's desire. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Wait patiently upon the Lord and hope in him. Fret not thyself for him which prospereth in his way, nor the man that bringeth his enterprises to pass. Cease from anger and leave off wrath. Fret not thyself also to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, and they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the land. So he says, trust thou in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, wait patiently upon the Lord. In verse 18 and 19, the Lord knoweth the days of upright men, and their inheritance shall be perpetual. They shall not be confounded in perilous times, and in the days of famine they shall have enough. And lastly, in verse 25, he says, I have been young and am old, yet I saw never the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. So the Lord will take care of his anointed. The Lord will take care of the remnant, the believers who are walking in holiness, the believers who are obeying the commands of Christ, who love God with their whole hearts. Amen? Father, I just bless you. I thank you, Lord, for your truth. I thank you, Father, that you warn us ahead of time. You give us what we need to know ahead of time, so that we can be ready, so that we can prosper as believers, that we can prosper in your truth, that we can prosper in your blessings, we can prosper in your provisions and in our walk with you, Father. Help us to be ready. Help us to be wise to continually seek you and prepare our hearts to be able to endure all the things that are coming on the earth and to be ready for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.